This morning, I wanted us to talk a little bit about one of the most important things we can do as Christians. In our Bible class, we talked about the ascension of Jesus. We talked about the great commission that Jesus gave as he was getting ready to ascend into heaven. And what I wanted us to talk about this morning for a little bit is how important it is for us today to fulfill that great commission. And it's the one thing that Jesus has told us to do as he was leaving that we need to make sure we are doing to the best of our ability. And it's really important for us to understand that all of us in his kingdom, like we talked about last Sunday morning, have different roles and different purposes, different strengths and different weaknesses. But regardless of what those things are, we all have an obligation, which is to share Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes it can be a little intimidating to talk to others about Jesus. And it's something that we don't always like to do, in the sense of if it's difficult, we try to put it away. But it is one of those things that we are certainly expected to do. So this morning, I wanted to talk about some ways that we can share Jesus in our lives with other people, and really talk about who we need to share Jesus with. And I think the first thing, and this is kind of a give me, is we need to be willing to share Jesus with strangers. Turn your Bibles over to Acts chapter 8. And we'll begin here. We'll be flipping around a little bit. But when Jesus gave that commission, he said to go into all of the world. Now, I don't know what it is, and I know some of you have probably been on mission trips before, as I am. But it's really strange to say it's easier to go up to somebody's door in Costa Rica and knock on it and say, hey, would you like to come to church tonight, than it is to go in, you know, my own neighborhood here and knock on someone's door and ask someone to come to church. I don't know why that is. It could be because a lot of the times the people we approached in these other countries were so welcoming, inviting us in. They wanted to hear what we had to say. But for us today, sometimes it can be a little intimidating to share Jesus with strangers. But I think one of the best examples we have in the Bible of a man who shared Jesus with a stranger comes in Acts chapter 8. However, it's important to note here that when Philip was called to share Jesus with this man, there was divine intervention. Let's begin reading with verse 26, and we see the divine intervention in a couple of ways. It says, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So first we see that Philip was told by the angel of the Lord where the general area where he needed to be. And that's where he went. When he was told to go somewhere, that's where he went. And then, of course, he sees this man in a chariot reading from the scriptures. And again, the Spirit told Philip to go to that man. So we see here this divine intervention, but this would have been someone he had never seen before. This was a complete stranger, a man from a completely different part of the world who was on his way back to that part of the world because he had come to Jerusalem for the purpose of worshiping Jesus. And for some reason, it can be, I don't know if awkward's the right word, maybe it is, I don't know, a little awkward or intimidating to bring up Jesus to someone. But it shouldn't have to be. And I think we can look at the way that this man brought up Jesus to the man who was reading the scriptures and say, that's a pretty good pattern to follow. But sharing Jesus can be something that we don't always like to do. But in this case, it was essentially a win-win opportunity, because what was this man already doing? He was already reading the Scriptures. So I think one thing that's important for us to understand, you know, especially if we're wanting to share Jesus with strangers, if we see an opportunity like Philip saw here with the Ethiopian eunuch, this man who was interested, this man who was actively trying to learn more about Jesus, we see that in his dedication to travel all the way from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to worship. He was willing to do that. And being a eunuch, he would have not been allowed inside of the temple either, which shows further dedication. He wanted to go to Jerusalem to try to get closer to God. And he was here reading the Scriptures. And the truth is, we come across people a lot who, you know, really have good intentions. They're searching for something. This man here was searching for something. He was trying to learn something. But as all of us in here know, it's not always easy learning from the Bible. There are just some things here that are complicated to us and things that we don't know. But the question that Philip asked this man, he didn't do anything outlandish. He didn't do anything that would make him really, really intimidated. He just asked him a simple question. Let's look at that question. Verse 30 said, so Philip ran to him. First of all, that's important to notice here. When he saw his opportunity to share Jesus with someone, he didn't take his time. By showing he ran to him, it shows a sense of urgency. This was something he knew he needed to do. He ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? That's it. Simple question. And, you know, just a simple question to ask this stranger. Do you understand what you're reading? But notice his response there. He said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. So sometimes we run across people, you know, maybe you run across a stranger who, and there have been times, and I know it happens less and less today than it probably used to, but there have been times where I've been walking and seeing someone reading a Bible or reading the Scriptures. That's an excellent opportunity to talk to someone. You don't necessarily have to say, do you understand what you're reading? But hey, what are you reading? And start a conversation that way. And it doesn't have to be awkward. It doesn't have to be something to intimidate us by any means. But it's a good opportunity to talk to someone about the Scriptures. He was someone who seemed to be interested, and Philip had a great opportunity. But as he was reading, let's continue with verse 32. It says, now the passage of the Scripture that he was reading was this, like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shears is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. Verse 34, and the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I asked you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else? Okay, this is another thing that we need to think about if we're going to share Jesus with people, is we need to be ready to answer questions. And this man, you know, it's clear he was paying attention. It's clear he was interested because he was wanting to know more. He asked this question. He was wanting to learn from someone. We as Christians, we have to be ready to answer questions if we are going to talk to someone about Jesus. So what that comes down to is this. We need to know what we believe. We need to know why we believe it. And we need to know where to show in the Bible how we believe what it is we say. We don't have to know everything. And I think the knowledge that sometimes we have to have when talking to people about Jesus is sometimes what causes the most intimidation. I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. Well, you know, it's important to understand we're never going to know everything, but you should also always be willing, and also keep in mind someone you could go to ask these questions. It's okay to tell someone, I don't know. I'll look that up for you. It's okay to do that. But still, there are some things we should have a basic knowledge of. We should know how to do certain things. And here, in this particular case, he asks this question, is the prophet saying this about himself or about someone else? And Philip knew the answer. Philip knew that Isaiah was not talking about Isaiah, but that he, of course, was talking about Jesus. Verse 35 says, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. So, we need to share the word of God, the word of Jesus, with anyone we come in contact with. And yes, that does include strangers. And like I said, sometimes that can be the easiest thing to do. I know, like I said, being in other countries, doing Bible studies with people, it's sometimes easier to talk to complete strangers. But that's a group of people we need to share Jesus with. Secondly, I would say we need to share Jesus with our friends. Now, sometimes it can be a little more intimidating to talk to people we're closer to about Jesus, especially if we know they have differing viewpoints or even no viewpoint at all. Sometimes that can be a little awkward, but we do need to make sure that we share Jesus with our friends. We have a great example of that. Turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we see two friends here who had encounters with Jesus. And this is Philip and Nathanael. Now, this would have been a different Philip than the one we were just reading about. But these were two of the disciples that Jesus called to follow him. Let's begin reading at verse 43. In John chapter 1, it said, the next day Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now this is, I think, in many ways can be a comical kind of interaction that they're having here. Philip tells his friend Nathanael, hey, look who we've found. We found Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. And his retort is, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You know, sometimes we have relationships with our friends like that where sometimes they give us a little bit of a hard time if we tell them about something or whatnot. But it's interesting what Philip's response to him was. He said, come and see, which is an exact phrase that Jesus himself had used not just a few verses before in this chapter. Come and see. He's giving his friend an opportunity to learn more about Jesus. Now, it's interesting here when we approach our friends out in, you know, our everyday lives, we could do something very similar to this by just simply inviting someone to church. Hey, have you heard of the Dawson Road Church of Christ? Well, is there anything good on Dawson Road? Why don't you come and see? Maybe someone said, well, I've never even heard of the Church of Christ. What's that about? Come and see. The best way to learn about something is to see it for yourself. And that's what Philip told Nathanael here. And it's really interesting when he had the opportunity to meet with Jesus, his life was changed forever. Let's keep reading. Beginning with verse 37. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under a fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So, Nathanael, of course, became one of the 12 that Jesus called as well, along with Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip. And the interesting thing here is it took very little to convince Nathanael of who Jesus was. And Jesus tells him, "You're going to see much greater things than these." And in fact, that's what he did. He saw the who knows how many healings that Jesus did. He heard who knows how many teachings of Jesus, because we're limited in what we have in the scriptures of the accounts that Jesus did. He saw Jesus be nailed to the cross. He saw Jesus ascend into heaven. He saw Jesus after he raised from the dead. There were so many things that he was able to see, and it began with an invitation by one of his friends. It's our responsibility to not only share Jesus with the world, but I think we need to start with the people closest to us. We need to share Jesus with people who are in our lives. And in doing that, much good can be done to the kingdom. And Philip telling Nathanael about Jesus, he gained one of his apostles. And again, it was just a simple mentioning of Jesus. And it doesn't have to be awkward. It doesn't have to be difficult. It can be something that we can certainly do when, just in passing, "Hey, we're having a Friends and Family Day on April 12th at Dawson Road. Why don't you come?" That's a great opportunity, which is just around the corner, actually. So it's a great opportunity to share Jesus with friends as well. So we should share Jesus with strangers. We should share Jesus with our friends. And then the last thing I want to mention this morning is we should be willing to share Jesus with our family. We're still here in John chapter 1. Let's back up a few verses. Let's begin with verse 35. It says, "The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus and walked by as he walked by and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, 'What are you seeking?' They said to him, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and you will see.' So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, which would have been about 4 p.m. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas,' which means Peter." So what we see happening here is a man finding Jesus, and notice it said first, who did he find? His brother. You know, I think when it comes to us wanting to share Jesus, who better to share Jesus with than our own families? It starts at home, and I know for me and Mandy and our sake, it was our parents that first shared Jesus with us and emphasize the importance and how thankful we are for that. But I know there's many of you in here who had a friend share Jesus with you, or a complete stranger share Jesus with you. And regardless of who first told us about Jesus or who first taught us about Jesus, the end result is the same in that we found Jesus. But a great place for us to start is certainly with our families. We know very little about Andrew. He's someone in the Bible we do not have a lot of information about. In fact, this one thing is most of what we know as far as mentioning him directly by name. We do know he was one of the 12 that Jesus originally called. We know that, like Philip and Nathaniel, he saw all the miracles. He saw all the he heard all the teachings. He saw Jesus nailed to that cross. He saw the resurrected body. He saw Jesus ascend into heaven. And along with that, he saw all of the countless things that came as they started going into the world and teaching Jesus. And he had an active role in that. We don't know very much of what he did, just simply because the scripture doesn't tell us. But we do know a lot about his brother. You know, we never know if someone we invite to church is going to do, you know, someone we invite to church may do tremendous things in the kingdom because of a simple invitation. And of course, that's not for our glory. It's solely for the glory of God. But we never know. We never know if we've invited the next gospel preacher, the next elder, the next missionary. We don't know. But the truth is, we need to share Jesus. And there's no greater place to start than with our families. And that's exactly what Andrew did. He invited the man who preached the first gospel sermon. He invited the man who confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. He invited the man who went out into the world and did much good in the name of Jesus. And we need to make sure to invite people as well. And again, he started with his family. Another example we have of that is with Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, Paul, he's writing, he says, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I'm sure, dwells in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." So Timothy, as we see here, was someone who was taught about Jesus by his family, by his mother and his grandmother. And I know there are many of you in here today who are here because of a mother or a grandmother. And I know the case with both of my parents, it was their mothers that taught them Jesus. And they're very thankful for them and for doing that for them. But all of us, like I said, are here today because of someone. Because of someone who took the time to ask us if we understood what we were reading, or to invite us to church, or to tell us the best news that they had. And we should be very thankful. But not only should we be thankful, we should be willing to do the same. You know, many of you are probably familiar with the name Lou Holtz, and he was a man who was a he just recently died, actually, earlier this month. Was pretty famous as a coach. He probably most famous as the coach of Notre Dame, and took them to a national championship. And my whole life growing up as an Alabama fan, I didn't really know who he was. But Daddy said I had to hate him because of who he was as a Notre Dame coach. That was a joke. But I didn't understand why. But it was interesting. Anytime he would come on TV, Daddy would be like, "Oh, I can't believe they let him talk on TV." But I was watching some interviews with him, and he was telling a story that I thought was really remarkable. He said, "I was born with a golden spoon in my mouth," and then talked about how he was born into a family that had nothing. They had hardly any money, lived in this shack essentially, had a half bathroom, and talked about the physical troubles they had of surviving. He said, "But I had parents who taught me the values that I have today." And he goes on and talked about how, you know, all of us, we can accumulate all the riches in the world, but we can't take that with us when we leave. He said, "But you know what you can take with you? You can take your families." You know, that's something all of us need to remember today. We can't take our cars, we can't take our money, we can't take our houses to heaven, but we can take our families. And it starts by us teaching and instructing and showing them the way. So let's remember that today as we get ready to leave this morning. Let's leave here today with this idea that we're going to share Jesus with whoever we can, whether it's a stranger, whether it's a friend, whether it's a family member, because much good will be done in the kingdom of God by simply sharing Jesus, because we don't know. We never know what might happen if we share Jesus with someone. Like I said, it could be the next preacher, the next missionary. But it is our responsibility. It should be our goal to bring as many people to heaven with us as we can. But first of all, for us to be able to share Jesus, we have to be in Jesus. We have to be in Christ. If there's anyone here this morning who has never obeyed the gospel, then we would like to give you an opportunity to do that. Through faith, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as God's Son, and being willing to be baptized for the remission of your sins, you can leave here this morning as a child of God. And if you're here this morning and you need prayers of the church, or there's something in your life that's separating you from Jesus, then we certainly would give you an opportunity to make that right this morning while we stand and sing.